Dan has already mentioned the global report on food crisis. The global report on food crisis helps you to have a global perspective of the food crisis, and therefore not to focus only on the four crises that we are going to discuss today. It's a joint effort by WFP, FAO, European Union, FuseNet, and others, and it gives you really a sense of where we stand in terms of acute food insecurity. If you look at the graph, it has a number of information. Okay, the first things I want to say is that in 2016 has not been a good year for as far as food insecurity is concerned. The number have increased dramatically. There were 80 million people considered as severely food insecure in 2015, and in 2016 we amount to 108 million. That is a 30% increase. This is due essentially to the conflict situation in several countries and to the El Nino phenomenon. You can see from the graph on the left side the list of major crises. There are the numbers, which are very important, and Yemen is the first in terms of number, but also the percentage is very important. Sometimes you have a smaller country with a smaller population, and therefore they don't appear immediately, but they are very important. There are countries like Southern Madagascar or Malawi that, although they are not in the first rank, they have 50% or above of people severely food insecure. On the right side of the slide, you can see the causes of food insecurity. So we have two main categories, which is the one which are essentially conflict-driven and the one which are climate-driven. Sometimes, and I will explain, it's a bit difficult to make the distinction. Sometimes it's a mix of the two, but you can see that the countries that we are going to discuss today are essentially on the conflict part of the graph. Now, we have been talking, Dan has been talking about the helicopter and the edge of the cliff and so on. Let's try to understand a bit what we mean when we say severely food insecure. Here you have what is the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification. That is a scale that has been basically adopted by all stakeholders, and I think it gives you a sense of where we are when we talk of food insecurity. Now, you see, it's a scale from 1 to 5. 5 is the worst, is famine. Now, but if you look also at the other phases, look at phase 3. In phase 3, you have already people which are suffering of malnutrition, and you have already a disruption of livelihood. Phase 4, that is the edge of the cliff. A lot of people said, oh, they're in phase 4, so we are not yet in a famine. In phase 4, you have already excess mortality. That means that people, they are not in a famine situation, we are not declaring famine, but there are already people who are dying for things related to lack of food. And you have already some irreversible situation in terms of livelihood. So some of the livelihood of people have been disrupted in a reversible way. So it's very important to intervene before we arrive to this situation. Essentially, it will be very nice if intervention could happen when you are in phase 2, which is when people are stressed, only on the stress equation. Famine. We have been using the word famine a lot. So what do you mean by famine? So in order to declare a famine, I mean, according to international standards, you have to meet three criteria. The first criteria is number. You have at least 20% of the people of a given areas who are suffering from severe lack of food. That is the first thing. Then you have to have a global a GAM rate, a global acute malnutrition of over 30%, and then death rate per day, which are twice the normal death. So it's two out of 10,000. When you meet these three criteria, then we have a famine. The point is that when we have a famine, it's already too late. If you look at the last graph on the right, it shows the mortality rate in Somalia during the famine of 2011. The famine was declared in July 2011, and when the famine was declared is then when there was all the international responses. But if you look at the graph, you will see that a lot of people, the excess mortality started well before, and overall, there were already 130,000 people that had already died when the famine was declared. And globally, we had an excess mortality because of the famine of 250,000 people. So that is very important to understand. The moment you declare a famine, it's already is we call a collective failure. That means that it's already too late. Now, I'm going to discuss a bit about these four countries, but just a couple of points about the common trends of this of the crisis in these four countries. There is something which is always happening. The first thing is displacement. You will see that all in this country, the number of there is a huge number of people who have been displaced by conflict, by drought, but that is that does make them particularly vulnerable. The second point is loss of livelihood. That is something which is common to all. And then linked to this, we have disruption of markets, rising market price. These are the kind of commonality that make the people food insecure in the four countries. Now, let me start with northeastern Nigeria. The last IPC analysis in northeastern Nigeria was undertaken in March, and we have projection until August. So we don't have very up-to-date figures on northeastern Nigeria. But you can see from the slides here that we are talking of about 5.5 million people in what we call severely food insecure, which is phase 3, 4, and above of IPC, with 50,000 people in a famine situation. So we don't have a famine because you don't reach the number, but you have people in a famine situation. The situation is at the moment is worsening because of the season. We are in the lean season, and also because the situation is far from being stable in northeastern Nigeria. Instability is still there, and this stops people from cultivating, basically, and therefore in some cases we have 3 or 4 years without an harvest. FAO and WFP have been working on this, and Dominique will talk on this, but all this brings to, let's say, a lack of improvement in the situation. Who are the most vulnerable in Nigeria? IDP, hosting community, the community that are hosting the IDP, and then people that basically their livelihood depends very much on markets. People that have to buy food on market, they are the most vulnerable because of the increase of the price due to the conflict. Somalia. Somalia was is famous because it was the last big famine that we witnessed in 2011, and there is really a huge concern on the part of the international community of local people not to repeat the 2011 again. So that has been the fear of everyone, in February, when the IPC was released, we said there is not yet a famine, but at the same time there is a risk of famine in what we call a worst-case scenario. So what is a worst-case scenario? A worst-case scenario, we mean that if humanitarian assistance is not sufficient or there is not enough access to humanitarian assistance, if drought continues and if price continue to rise. Now, one thing interesting of Somalia is that 15 months ago, we had about 1.1 million people in what we call IPC phase 3 and 4, and the number has kept on raising. It was 2.9 million in February, and now recently we estimate this to 3.2 million. So it's a rapid degradation of the situation, with people in phase 4 moving from 400,000 to 700,000. This is due essentially to the drought that is in Somalia, that we have been having experiencing drought in the last 3 years on a really very, very fragile environment. We are not in a famine, but there are already group of people, and we are waiting for an update of the IPC next week, so we'll hear something more, who are basically experiencing, particularly IDP around Baidoa and Mogadishu, experiencing a level of mortality compatible with a famine situation. In Somalia, like in Nigeria, one of all the phenomena is displacement. This is due to drought. We have over 1 million people who are being displaced. And then one thing which is happening very often when the situation is fragile and under food security point of view, you have health issues, cholera. In Somalia, we have over 30,000 cases of cholera, and this is very much, again, a thing which is quite worrying for us. Okay, South Sudan, this is interesting because it is an animation. You can see South Sudan. South Sudan, starting from before the period of instability of 2013, we had 1.6 million people considered to be severely food insecure. You can see from these animated slides how the situation has kept on worsening. Today we are talking of 6 million people be classified as severe food insecurity. So we move 2013, 1.6 to 6 million, this 6 million on the last analysis. Sudan was also the country in which a famine was declared. A famine was declared in February. And we did an IPCC analysis which was released just a few weeks ago. And the good news is that the famine has been contained, which is extremely important. And this is due essentially to a well-coordinated humanitarian assistance and access to areas which were not accessible until a few months ago. Famine has been contained, but this is the only good news. There are at least two bad news. The first one, that although famine has been contained, we have still people in a famine situation. Last time it was only in Yunde State. Now we have also famine situation in Jonglei State. And the other thing is that because of the instability, you can see from the map, areas which were normally food secure, like the southern part of the... I'll be super brief... Like the southern part of the country, now which were the breadbasket of South Sudan, because of the instability, a lot of people move, and now their food is secure. Also, experiencing phase four, 1 million people move to Uganda. I finish very quickly. Yemen. Yemen is the worst humanitarian situation at the moment. We have 17 million people in IPCC phase 3 and 4 because of the conflict, because of market disruption and population movement. Markets are not working. And again, in Yemen, at the moment, there is also a very high level of cholera. There are around 200,000 cases, and therefore it's, again, one country that needs to be watched carefully. I want the last slide, which is this one, because I wanted just to raise a couple of points. This is a slide which has been produced on the basis of the FAO Early Warning for Early Action report, which was issued last Friday. This slide has got three messages. The first message is the regional dimension of the crisis. We are talking of countries which have similar economic system, similar agroecological system. Therefore, a crisis that hit any of the country then has repercussion on others. The number of people that move from one country to another, from South Sudan to Congo, from South Sudan to Uganda, have an impact on the overall stability of the country. The second message is that it's not only conflict, but it's also drought. If you look at the situation in Kenya and Ethiopia, where because of the drought, we estimated that there is a 70% decrease in mice production and a number of livestock losses. That is something extremely important. And then the very last point is about forgotten crises. There are some, because of the attention on the four countries that we mentioned, there is a tendency not to look at other countries. I want to make the case for Congo. In Congo, which is a country which is known to be in crisis, we have been having about 6 million people in extreme food insecurity. In the last year, because of the political instability, numbers are on increase, and regions which were known to be peaceful, like Kasai, at the moment they are facing IPCC phase 4. Why I mention this? Because the word forgotten crisis is important, because we were there, I mean, with Arif, Dominique, and Denise Brown just 10 days ago, and the humanitarian response plan in the Kasai, it has been funded at the moment only by 3%. So that is, you are in face of a huge crisis, and basically there is no response from the international community. So that was the last point I wanted to make. Thank you very much.